Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechus Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as permitting one to move a pan, a machda, which is not muksa, even if there are ashes on it, which are muksa. This seems to contradict a statement from Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere, which implied that if a basket only contained a stone, then it would become a basis l'davar aser, a base to a prohibited object, and therefore be muksa. So why is the pan with the leftover ashes not considered a basis l'davar aser? Rav explains that Rebbe permitted the pan to be moved because the ashes had been anticipated for later use to cover dirt, and therefore the ashes were not muksa. Rebbe's chiddush was that it was permitted to move the pan with the non-muksa ashes even if there were muksa pieces of wood in it as well. Number two, the final mission of the Perek permits placing a vessel under a lamp on Shabbos to catch the falling sparks. The Gemara asks, why is this permissible to do, given that the falling sparks would make the vessel under the lamp a basis to the muksa, and it would therefore be a case of mevatel klei mehechono, nullifying the preparedness of the vessel? Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answers that nitzotzos ein behen mamish, sparks have no substance, and therefore the vessel is not considered a basis to them. And point number three, the opening mission of the fourth parak forbids insulating pots before Shabbos with substances that add heat, that are mosif hevel to the food. One of the substances mentioned is gephas, a certain type of pulp. So the Gemara wants to clarify if gephas is referring to olive gephas, whose heat is relatively intense, but sesame gephas, which is less intense, would be permitted to insulate with, or perhaps the mission is referring to sesame gephas, and all the more so olive gephas would be prohibited. A statement from Buzera that prohibited placing a box of insulated food on top of olive gephas was brought to prove that only olive gephas is mostly hevel. It increases the heat of what it's insulating. But the Gemara rejects this proof by saying that sesame gephas also increases heat. It's mosif hevel. It's just not strong enough to radiate heat upwards of the food on top of it like olive gephas can. All right, so let's review. So point number one, Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as permitting one to move a pan, a machta, which is not muksa, even if there are ashes on it, which are muksa. This seems to contradict a statement from Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere, which implied that if a basket only contained a stone, then it would become a basis l'davar aser, a base to a prohibited object, and therefore be muksa. So why is the pan with the leftover ashes not considered a basis l'davar aser? So Rav explains that Rebbe permitted the pan to be moved because the ashes had been anticipated for later use to cover dirt, and therefore the ashes were not muksa. Rebbe's chiddush was that it was permitted to move the pan with the non-muksa ashes even if there were muksa pieces of wood in the pan as well. And point number two, the final mission, the Perek permits placing a vessel under a lamp on Shabbos to catch the falling sparks. The Gemara asks, why is this permissible to do, given that the falling sparks would make the vessel under the lamp a basis to the muksa, and it would therefore be a case of mevatel klei mehechano, nullifying the preparedness of the vessel. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answers that nitzotzos ein behen mamish, sparks have no substance, and therefore the vessel is not considered a basis to them. And point number three, the opening mission, the fourth Perek forbids insulating pots before Shabbos with substances that add heat, that are mosif hevel to the food. So one of the substances mentioned in the Mishnah is gephas, a certain type of pulp. So the Gemara wants to clarify if gephas is referring to olive gephas, whose heat is relatively intense, but sesame gephas, which is less intense, would be permitted to insulate with, or perhaps the Mishnah is referring to sesame gephas, and all the more so, olive gephas would be prohibited. A statement from Vizera was brought that prohibited placing a box of insulated food on top of olive gephas to prove that only olive gephas increase the heat of what it's insulating, its mosif hevel. But the Gemara rejects this proof by saying that sesame gephas also increases heat, its mosif hevel, it's just not strong enough to radiate heat upwards of the food on top of it like olive gephas can. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon for Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, searching for the pile of olive gephas to place them on, which radiates heat upwards. Once again, in slow motion. The contestants ran through the maze. Maze, that means we're on Daf Mem Zayin. The contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, quotes Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, as permitting one to move a pan of machta, which is not muksa, even if there are ashes on it, which are muksa. This seems to contradict a statement from Yochanan elsewhere, which implied that if a basket only contained a stone, then it would become a basis l'davar aser, a base to a prohibited object, and therefore be muksa. So why is the pan with the leftover ashes not considered a basis l'davar aser? And Rava explains that Rebbe permitted the pan to be moved because the ashes had been anticipated for later use to cover dirt, and therefore the ashes were not muksa. Rebbe's chiddush was that it was permitted to move the pan with the non-muksa ashes, even if there were muksa pieces of wood in it as well. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, which reminds us, the final mission of the Perek permits placing a vessel under a lamp on Shabbos to catch the falling sparks. The Gemara asks, why is this permissible to do, given that the falling sparks would make the vessel under the lamp a basis to the muksa, and it would therefore be a case of mevatel klei mehechano, nullifying the preparedness of the vessel. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answers that nitzotzos ein behem mamish, sparks have no substance, and therefore the vessel is not considered a basis to them. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, searching for the pile of olive gephas to place them on, which radiates heat upwards. Which reminds us, the opening mishnah of the fourth parak, the Matomnim, forbids insulating pots before Shabbos with substances that add heat, that are mostly hevel to the food. One of the substances mentioned is gephas, a certain type of pulp. The Gemara wants to clarify if gephas is referring to olive gephas, whose heat is relatively intense, but sesame gephas, which is less intense, would be permitted to insulate with, or perhaps the mishnah is referring to sesame gephas, and all the more so olive gephas would be prohibited. A statement from Bezerra's brought that prohibited placing a box of insulated food on top of olive gephas to prove that only olive gephas increase the heat of what it's insulating. The Gemara rejects this proof by saying that sesame gephas also increases heat. It's also mostly hevel. It's just not strong enough to radiate heat upwards to the food on top of it like olive gephas can. So once again, the contestants ran through the maze with pans full of hot ash with sparks flying everywhere, searching for the pile of olive gephas to place them on, which radiates heat upwards. Now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Mem Dalet. So the symbol for Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud. Mud, that means we're on Daf Mem Dalet. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud, which reminds us the next mishnah introduces a malchokas regarding the muksa status of a lamp. According to the Tanakhama, one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds a muksa makmas mius. An item becomes muksa due to it becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rabbi Shimon holds one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muksa machmas mius. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and the oil have become a base of the flame, which is muksa. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, which reminds us Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it, even during the week, it is subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he never had used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muksa. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, contents which had fallen out of a coach that had a removable wheel, which reminds us, a mission was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tamei, the wheel does not automatically become tamei with it. Secondly, the wheel is not measured with the coach to determine if it has the liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. In a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tamei. And if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a basis l'davar aser, a base for a forbidden object. Daf Mem Hei. So the symbol for Mem Hei is Monopoly, Monopoly game. So here goes. The Monopoly game, that means we're on Daf Mem Hei. The Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat, which reminds us that Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan if Rabbi Shimon hold that wheat that one planted in the ground or eggs that were placed under a hen would be considered muksas since they were dachi b'yadayim, they were actively set aside. Rav Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rav Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it's burning. Hoyel v'huksel mitzvaso huksel yisuro. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground or placing the egg under the hen alone does not make a muksa. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption, which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no food that is muksa on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they're no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible do not become muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes not fit for consumption and suddenly dropped dead. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas where the Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bara Meimar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited since the owner did not have in mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could feed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. Daf Mem Vav, so the symbol for Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes, the cow, that means we're on Daf Mem Vav. The cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth, which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding moving large menorahs that require both hands to move and small menorahs that only require one hand to move. They both agree that it's prohibited to move a large or small menorah if it's made of sections, chulios, and are concerned that if it fell apart, one would come to reassemble it and be liable for the malacha of Makub Bapatish, the final hammer blow. They also agree that a large menorah that has grooves is prohibited to move because someone might come to confuse it with a large menorah that has sections. They disagree regarding small menorahs with grooves. Rav Yochanan says the Rabban decreed they should not be moved as well. Reish Lakish says the Rabban did not decree that they should not be moved since small menorahs are usually made of one piece, so people won't come to think that a grooved one is sectional. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked a naphtha lamp that was being used to cover a utensil, which reminds us Rav Avi explained to Rava that the reason why Rava and Rav Yosef permitted moving a naphtha lamp on Shabbos, even though nothing can be placed inside it because it became repugnant, is that the lamp can still be used to cover a utensil. The difference between the naphtha lamp and scattered stones in the courtyard that can also be used to cover utensils but are nevertheless muksa is that the naphtha lamp has Torah's Kli Olah. It has the status of a vessel and therefore does not become muksa as long as it can be used for some function. The stones, on the other hand, never had Torah's Kli Olah. It never had the status of a vessel and therefore they're intrinsically muksa. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked the naphtha lamp that was being used to cover utensil, which then hit a bechor on Yantav, causing a blemish, which no one had ever anticipated. Which reminds us, Abai pointed out a seeming contradiction in Rabbi Shimon, who permits the use of the leftover oil in a lamp or a bowl on Shabbos, but does not permit the slaughtering of Bechor on Yantav, whose blemish, whose mum, was not detected prior to Yantav. Rabbi explained that in the case of the oil, a person waits and anticipates the moment when his lamp will go out, and he'll be able to use the oil. Even though the oil was not available at Banish Shmashos, it becomes permissible when the moment arrives, according to Rabbi Shimon. In the case of the Bechor, it cannot be said that a person anticipates the arrival of a blemish to permit him to eat it. Even if a blemish comes, who's to say that it will develop a permanent blemish? And even if it develops a permanent blemish, who's to say that an expert, a mumcha, will come to inspect it? Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says the Bechor remains muksa. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Question number 1. Where do we learn that it's permitted to extinguish burning metal in Rishus Rabbim because it presents a danger to the public? That's on Duff. Membeis, good. Number 2, where do we learn about muksa makmas mius? That's on Daf. Memdalad, good. Number 3, where do we have the machlokes regarding moving a small menorah with grooves? That's on Daf. Memvav, good. Number 4, where do we learn about verbally designating a bed to store money? That's on Daf. Memdalad, good. Number 5, where do we have the machlokas regarding Rabbi Shimon and animals that died on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Mem Hey, good. Number 6, where do we learn about bad eating habits and their consequences? That's on Daf. Mem Aleph, good. Number 7, where do we learn why a Bechor that died on Yantav can't be moved, according to Rabbi Shimon? That's on Daf. Mem Vav, good. Number 8, which daf do we learn about being mevata akli mehechano? That's on Daf. Mem Gimel, good. Number 9, where do we learn that olive gefes radiates heat upwards where sesame gefes does not? That's on Daf. Mem Zayin, good. And number 10, where do we learn about the halachas related to a movable wheel of a wagon? That's on Daf. Mem Dal, great. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1, which daf do we learn about the 8 places where miracles occur? That's on Daf. Nandad, good. Number two, where do we learn that workers can say Shema up in trees? That's on Daf. Tezvav, good. And number three, where do we learn that foods of the five grains get the bracha of mazonos? That's on Daf. Lamedvav, great. That concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from the second brachas. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zirch, wishing you a great day and great learning.